Today, if you haven't picked up on it already, we're looking at how our church family, as has already been said a couple times, from elders down to our youngest children, is built on the foundation of love God, love people, and love more people. And our single objective as a faith family is to make much and much more of Jesus, to be obedient to the call that he has placed on all of us, to be more consistent, to be more passionate, to be more compassionate as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be the church that God has called us to be. Now, the church is not a man-made invention. It's not something that says, hey, we have a hole in our calendar on a Sunday morning. Man, what can we fill it with? And before travel soccer or anything else got raised their hand, somebody said, hey, how about the church? No, we didn't. It's not a man-made invention. God created the church. The church is biblical. It's the Christian standard for believers to be a part of a local church. Yes, the global church as all believers of Jesus Christ, but also to be tied to, involved with, living life as part of a local church. Jesus established the church. And this blows my mind when I stop and think about it. Jesus established the church to continue the mission that he started. Doesn't that just boggle your mind sometimes? That the perfect Son of God chose me, chose you, to continue his mission. To celebrate and to proclaim a risen Savior. And through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, expand Christ's kingdom. The church is a biblical thing. And church membership is a biblical thing. It's being attached to a local body of believers. It creates unity and strength. All believers are called to be a part of a local body so that you have somebody looking out for you, but you're also a part of making that body of believers all that she can be for the community in which she is situated. And if you're not a member of a local church, or if you've been attending here and you're not a member of this local church, seek out somebody on the front row right here. Right? We would love to talk with you about next steps of becoming a part. It's not a country club. It's not something that you pay dues and you get front row seating at the fireworks at the Sternwheel Festival or something like that. No, but it's being a part of a body of believers. So if Mike Real isn't here for a week or two, somebody's asking, hey, Mike, I've missed you. So that we can come alongside and say, Chris, like, how are you doing? Right? How's your study time doing? How's your walk with Christ doing? It's a part of being a community. The church is biblical. The church membership is biblical, and church leadership is biblical. Biblical leadership isn't about board meetings. Praise God for that. It's about a team, a collection of like-minded men and women who are committed to one another and committed to making the church which they have been called and tasked with leading into looking more and more like the Savior who died for them. So this morning, we're going to take just a look at us. We're going to continue to take a look at Scripture. We're going to take a look at what that looks like when the calling is applied to our lives. And if you're in this room today, you have a calling that should be being applied to your life. We're going to look at the application, and we're also going to look at a charge for each segment of this body as we strive to be unified. To Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, we read a little bit of this already, 11 and 12. I want us to jump up earlier in that chapter and read from the beginning of chapter 4, where Paul, in this letter to the church in Ephesus, says, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. You hit pause for a second. Think of where you are right now. Are you on summer break trying to figure out what you're going to do, or you're already looking towards school? There's been a calling placed on your life for this time that you have away from school. If you're already thinking tomorrow morning, man, that alarm clock's going to go off at some hour that I don't want to see, and I have to get up and get clothed and go be around people, just remember that that is a part of the calling for the season in your life. What are you going to do with it? And that's what Paul is encouraging here, for us to walk worthy of the calling. You have been tasked with something from the Savior. You have been given opportunities that maybe nobody else in this room will be given. You have a circle of people that you bump shoulders with and you sit across from, your cubicles right up next to them. You have a ministry field that maybe nobody else in this room has. Are you going to walk faithfully into that? I urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, making every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Church, we must be a group of believers who on this day and on every day that God blesses us in the future, we must be committed to creating a culture where making much of Jesus is the norm. Where even when our days are terrible, when we have a calendar full of things we don't necessarily want to do, we still walk into that with purpose because we know that we have been tasked with something. We need to be creating an environment in this faith family where we are raising up leaders, as Mark reminded us, who are going to continue the mission that we have been given into the future, to the next generation and the next generation, if God so wills it, if Jesus doesn't return. We need to be creating such an atmosphere here where our sons and daughters want to grow up and be excited about being counselors at Camp Jaira every spring. And we should be raising up sons and daughters who are excited about being asked to lead a small group as part of our summit student ministry. We need to be developing and creating an atmosphere where there's a desire of every man and every woman to take the next step into leading. Not because we want the badge that says, hey, look at me, I'm a leader, right? 15 years of service, right? They said I would just have to watch babies in the nursery for 2 weeks, and it's been 15 years. But not for that reason, not for the status, but because we have been tasked with the most important mission of all time. And what we need to create here is an on-fire, encouraging, safe training zone so that when we go out, right, we are ready, our kids are ready, our grandkids are ready, our great-grandkiddos are ready to continue the mission that Christ has given to us. And I so look forward to watching, right? This weird year has been a little bit weird. And Brad, I've shared this with several people. 18 years ago when we came, the young lady that I just married to her husband was about this tall. And over the course of that years, I think she's taller than me now, and she's saying I do to another person. I look forward to seeing this group of people over here, this group of young men on the front row, this little pocket of young ladies back there in the middle. I look forward to all of them, right, taking steps and leading me and you, right, when the roles are reversed, right, and our children are teaching us and our grandchildren are being installed as elders and deacons in a local church. I look forward to that. And church, I pray that our language, our hearts, our posture is being shaped in such a way that it's something we desire and not something we have to twist your arm and put a foot on your shoulder and try to coerce you to do this just for a little bit. But leading in the local church to be something we desire because we realize and accept the bigness of our mission. And it's going to take all of us and each of us. So this morning, let's just walk through, all of us, Right? And let's start with the men that you have seen on the stage this morning, your elders. Biblical elders lead by examples, not by lording over you. They are tasked with protecting the flock, with modeling godliness, with equipping the church so that the entire church can be mobilized for the Great Commission. Church, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I am so thankful for the other six elders who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in loving and leading in this faith community. It's been tough at times. When each of us were given the church constitution in black and white, we're like, yeah, I think I could do this. And about a month into that, I'm like, what's on paper and how that lives out in real life, that's different. And it's been rough. And we've struggled together, and we have failed together, and we have prayed together a lot. We may have even talked each other out of quitting a time or two. But guys, I will tell you this, since that Sunday about 2 years ago, that team of seven has grown close through those trials, and that group of seven loves you ridiculously, and I've seen firsthand their willingness to lay aside family vacations and family time to be with you, not begrudgingly, lovingly. And I am thankful for them. It's been tough. We've labored. But you're in good hands with your elders today. Our elders at FBCW are committed to pointing you directly to Jesus. When we shepherd, it empowers the church. So to my fellow elders this morning, I charge you to shepherd the flock of God that is among you with eager devotion. Guard the truth. Model the heart of Jesus. And drive our church forward to love more people by equipping the church family that you've been called to. Deacons, right now to our six deacons and also to the 13 that we're adding to that here today, deacons are the operational backbone of the church, protecting unity and freeing up the elders as we read in Scripture and have prayed for the ministry of the Word, for shepherding, and for prayer. Deacons remove logistical barriers to the Great Commission, or so that the Great Commission can continue to advance. So to our current deacons and to our new deacons, I charge you to stand as guardians of peace, masters of mercy, remove barriers, physical and spiritual, in this house so that the gospel can run swiftly. Use your service to demonstrate how deeply we love each other and equipping us so that we may love more people and more people and more people. Now, there are a whole slew of you who are not yet elders, who are not yet deacons, but are involved every time the doors are open, plus some, in leading our children. Gretchen and Katie could not do what they do without ministry leaders. Mark and Kristen could not do what they do with our students without ministry leaders. Becky could not do what she does on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday evening without ministry leaders leading. So to you ministry, to you leaders who are leading ministries, whether it's in Sunday school or small groups or a worship team, you exist to equip the saints. Your application is to stop viewing church merely as a spectator event, but to pull more and more and more of us into loving and leading and worshiping. And I charge you, leaders, to refuse to do the work alone. Stop treating your ministry as a job to finish and start treating it as a laboratory to train others in, as a training ground. Build up the saints so that all of us and each of us can confidently share Christ. Raise your hand if you're a mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, spiritual or biological. The primary mission field for those of you who raised your hands is your living room, is your dining room table, is that little space right there where there's enough free space to where you can see the floor amidst the toys and the clothes, where you can kneel beside your child's bed and pray and to tuck them in. You are frontline disciple makers, commissioned by God with the highest calling possible in the home. Your task is pointing your family consistently to Jesus. From that scripture, that larger scripture that you're going to read this afternoon in Deuteronomy 6, describes a house that is plastered with the words of God. Above your doors, on your foreheads, bound on your wrists, when you wake up, when you lie down, as you walk along the road, moms and dads, be all about Jesus. I charge you, parents, to claim your homes as ground zero for the Great Commission. Speak God's truth when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down and rise up. Show your children daily what it looks like to love God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. Teenagers. Teens aren't just the future of the church. They're the right now of the church. I saw that at Camp Jireh. I saw teens leading our younger kiddos at Camp Jireh. I see teens going, older teens going on retreats to serve. Hey, God has placed you in your schools, with your friends, on your sports teams, to be vibrant witnesses for Jesus Christ. You may think that two-a-day conditioning is just to get you stronger on the field. No, two-a-day conditioning is an opportunity that Jesus has given you to learn more about Him, to lead well. You may think that Tuesday evening soccer practice or softball practice or dance class or horseback riding or art class or music lesson or whatever is just about you refining your skills. No, it's an opportunity for you to shine for your Savior, to learn a skill that's going to allow you to have a pulpit, to have a ministry that I will never have. So to our teens, I charge you to view your schools, your social circles as your mission field. Don't compromise with the culture. Set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, so that your generation will see a true version of Jesus. Children, right? Those of you who are not yet teens, Jesus said, let the little kids come to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to those little kids that I want coming to me. Love your neighbor. Invite. Do you know that if you are this tall or this tall or this tall, you have a freedom to say anything you want to about Jesus at any time? Your teacher may get slapped on the wrist or docked in their pay if they talk about Jesus. You can talk about Him anything, anytime. Right? You know who the best person to invite your friends to church is? It ain't me. It ain't mom and dad. It's you. And it's you. Right? You have this freedom. You have this power. You have energy that I don't have, that your mom and dad don't have. Don't miss the opportunity to let your energy show Jesus. So, kiddos, I charge you, let your light shine bright. Share the love of Jesus with your friends. Invite them to church. Be a champion for somebody who's getting picked on or ignored. And remember that you're never too small, never too young to do big things for the kingdom of God. All of us, elders, deacons, ministry leaders, parents, teens, and children, all of us have this collective commission. He didn't, when Jesus was talking to the apostles, he didn't say, hey, Peter, I need you to go to all the world, making disciples, baptizing. He didn't say, and you, John, you just sort of go over here, keep to yourself. No, he charged all of us to go. It's a collective commission, all of us. So this entire body, let's move forward as one family, as one armor, under one banner, to make much of Jesus. You are gifted and called to people and places and in ways that I never have been, never will be. You have opportunities that I will never have. You have pulpits that I don't have. You have circles of friends and circles of family and circles of acquaintances that I don't even know and will never have the opportunity to speak Jesus to. You do. So being part of a faith family means relying on one another, each of us, to do our job and encouraging the person sitting next to us, the person sitting behind us, to keep fighting, to keep doing their job. This great commission that has been entrusted to us, though it may make us shake our heads and shrug like, why? Why is this the plan? But this great commission that has been entrusted to us is the most amazing news that we can ever share. So as much as we like to talk about that great report card, or how fast our kid ran, or watch my granddaughter dance, or what our local sports team is doing, God, may He give each of us a desire to speak even more so, frequently, passionately, convincingly, the gospel of Jesus Christ.